Welcome to Solving the People Puzzle. I'm your host, Francois de Wet, entrepreneur, organizational psychologist, and the founder of Whamly, South Africa's largest provider of one-way video interview software, where we help organizations hire better people faster by reducing the time you spend in interviews. If you would like to find out more about our company, you can visit our website at whamly.io. If not, simply sit back, subscribe to the podcast, and enjoy this journey with me where we aim to solve the people puzzle. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another podcast episode on Solving the People Puzzle, where I, your host, Francois de Wet, interview and have great conversations with industry leaders that are as passionate about solving the people puzzle as we are here at Whamly. And today, I have in studio with me Kevin Hardy. Kevin, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Pleasure, Francois. I'm happy to be part of it.
Yeah, fantastic. I think for the audience, we always kick off by allowing the guests to introduce themselves. So if you would just like to share a bit about your history, who you are, where you come from, what you're doing now, what you're passionate about, to tee us up.
Yeah, sure. No problem. So, I've been around in the IT world for some time. I was with the likes of Dimension Data, Cisco. I ended up heading up British Telecom in the country. And yeah, so always been leading IT businesses. I think I'd always been Johannesburg based, or originally in the Eastern Cape, but moved up here like most people do from a career point of view. My move into Skillstown was quite an interesting one. I was affected during the lockdown. I worked for a smaller business that unfortunately couldn't afford to keep me on. But that turned out to be a blessing in disguise, because it forced me to do something I wanted to do for some time now, and that's to start my own business. And I've always been passionate about employee engagement in general, and obviously had many HR directors and that reporting to me as CEO. And always felt that from a platform point of view, there was a lot of work that needed to be done around improving employee engagement. And I happened to come across Skillstown that is originally Dutch, has a Dutch background. We started in Holland. And long story short, is took a bit of a leap of faith. I haven't looked back. And I'm now satisfying that itch I've had, which is to really engage with leaders around how they engage their employees better. So, in a nutshell, my background.
Awesome. I want to circle back to a couple of points you made. It's interesting when I meet individuals who look at the entire pandemic and ultimately sees it as an opportunity, because for many business owners and organizations, that's exactly what it was. It was a catalyst. It was an accelerator. It was a bit of a kick for people who needed it. And it seems like with your story, that's what really helped you, right?
It was, yeah. I think it got all of us thinking a little differently about life. Work-life balance, all those things which you don't necessarily get in the corporate. And, I wanted to be the master of my own destiny. And, I've been fortunate enough to find a great partner in Skillstown. And I'm enjoying every discussion I'm having daily with businesses that are not necessarily or don't necessarily have the solutions to help them with, engaging employees better in this hybrid working world, which has become the norm. Used to be foreign to all of us, and things like Teams have become, and Zoom and these kind of things have become de facto standards in our lives now,
Absolutely. So let's start at the beginning here, Kevin. When the audience hears employee engagement, I can imagine there would be 100 definitions for it. In your opinion, what is employee engagement? And then we can kind of deep dive into what does Skillstown do?
Sure. So I think it's difficult to define, and probably even more difficult to measure, especially if you're, and I think everybody's got their own opinion, but in my view, there's a number of things that, need to be done in a business. One is to keep employees trained and keep their understanding of the business and products and services and compliance and all those things up to scratch. But also even more important is to keep them excited about being part of your organization. Mm-hmm. And that means offering them, a place to go, to learn, to develop themselves. And there's been a huge sort of shift from, not so much what's important for the corporate anymore, but what's important for me as an employee, and
sure.
That shift has happened. Employees are now looking for more flexible work-life environments. They want platforms that keep them, that create a great experience for them. Mm-hmm. And I think if I talk to the corporates that we're engaging with, you know, typically chief HR officers, operations director, even up to CEO level, you know, they always ask them, how do you measure engagement if you don't have a platform? And they don't, mm-hmm. you know, they've got, you know, everybody's got Teams and Zoom, as I said, but then they've got SharePoint, they've got intranet, and they've got a number of applications running. And there's no real dashboard or interpretation of data to give them a view on how engaged employees really are. You know, it's a bit of a stab in the dark for them. Yeah. So we help with that. Yeah.
Okay. It's interesting that you say the two things that I pick up around engagement is firstly, am I informed? Do I know what the business is about, what products we are rolling out, how are we making money, you know, who's our ideal customer, what is my job about? So that's the first piece I heard you say. But then there's a second piece around personal engagement. Am I excited? Am I learning? Am I growing? And then if I am or am not, is the business aware of it?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's a case of, you know, let's face it, I mean, our lives are driven by data now. And, you know, I don't think we know half the time who's measuring what on platforms we're on, but everybody is, you know. And if you talk to, you know, bigger marketing organizations, they're using data to interpret their next move. And why should it be any different when it comes to employee engagement? You know, if you don't have data, it's very difficult to interpret whether somebody's actually engaged and what to do as a next step or what their interests are and so on. So, you know, I think the starting point is to have a platform. You know, you may not get it right in the beginning, but you're certainly going to have data to say, you know, what's working and what's not. I think that's very, very important.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think the second piece that you mentioned, which is so evident with us also dealing with large organizations, is how the employee is now the individual making decisions. Someone the other day said that your employees are now your consumers. You know, they have a voice, they make decisions, they're not just there for the 8 to 5. They want to thrive in an environment that's caring for them, that it's giving them these resources and tools to learn and grow. I would love your take, Kevin, on how the learning landscape has changed. And maybe this is not necessarily a pre-post-COVID conversation, but just in general, how people were taught, learned, grown, how has that landscape moved? And the reason for my question being is that a lot of the audience members might have moved with this, or are not, or have not. And I would love just to create some insight for them.
Yeah, great question. I mean, I think, you know, learning has, you know, and listen, I have my views on like the school system that I think we're, you know, it's one of the systems that if you think about it hasn't changed in 50 years. It's crazy. So
it's not.
You know, and
it's all dissecting frogs.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't, you know, I look at how I don't want to divert there, but I think, you know, the reality is things haven't shifted fast enough from a learning point of view. And what we see is a lot of corporates that have a big, what they call LRSs in place, where have long-winded e-learning and things like that. Now, I think if you're an employee, or I don't think, I know, if you're an employee these days, you know, you come to the end of the day and you're so digitally fatigued with all these platforms and things you're on. To go and jump onto a platform that firstly doesn't engage you effectively, has a very legacy user interface. When you think about it as consumers, we're spending time on things like Netflix, you know, Google, that have a fantastic intuitive interface that understands what you want. So the starting point is that. And then I think given that digital fatigue, you know, if you don't realize that as a corporate and start to provide content or knowledge management, whatever it might be, in short bite-sized chunks of information that are relevant in the space of an employee that gets to the end of the day and would very happily do a 2-3 minute module rather than hours of learning, then you need to relook what you're doing. Yeah. You know? And there are instances where, yes, you know, e-learning is important, and then there's maybe a particular course you need to do that requires that. But then the platform's got to allow you to jump in, jump out, you know, like we do in the world, the digital world we're in. People, you know, it's driven by what the consumer wants, how they want to consume it, when they want to consume it, how they're feeling on the day. And that's really important, that your platform accommodates that. Because if you don't do that, you're going to lose your employees. You're going to wonder why they're not engaged, why they're looking elsewhere. And you know, as you said, the power has shifted, and you've really got to provide a platform that keeps them excited and provides a really good experience for them.
Mm. Yeah, I often in learning conversations end up where you mentioned the word relevance, where I, as an employee, I need to be growing personally and professionally, but the growth also from a business perspective needs to be in line with the requirements of my current and potential future role from a succession perspective. And so, you know, you often end up then with service providers that have off-the-shelf courses. I always joke when I say, you know, every manager goes on EQ training. As an example, not dissing emotional intelligence at all, but the point around a blended learning or a targeted learning approach for the individual to grow in line with what the organization requires from an output perspective has always been key for me in this conversation. And so your opinion around offering off-the-shelf courses in relation to an organization being able to tailor-make their own content that suits their context, their environment, and the individual's needs?
Yeah, you know, we've seen a huge shift there from, you know, very articulate, expensive content that comes off the shelf and it is not necessarily customized to that employee's environment, so the actual business they're working for. What we find is that generally employees prefer content that's human in nature, where people are just discussing things. Even, you know, what's been interesting on our platform is one of the most popular content pieces is actually just recorded Teams meetings that are shared on a channel, which if you think about it, is just a snapshot of what's happened in the business that people can reflect on and where they see their employees engaging. And the platforms are there, so you don't need to go and spend a whack on external content that's done in a really professional manner, because often that doesn't talk to the employee, has less relevance because it's not their colleagues talking about it. So, you know, it's not to say that there's not a place for it. I mean, things like puppy training and things like that are aspects where you may need to get a bit more. But also the trap a lot of our customers fall into is that they just throw content and content and content at their employees. And then often there's too much. And what happens is in the first 2 months they engage, and then we just see the employee engagement scores drop off because it's just way too much. They get lost. It's not relevant to, you know, the point we made earlier. So it's really important to profile users so that, you know, if an HR person comes in, the content they're looking at and is thrown at them is relevant to what they do. Or if you're in sales, or if you're in if you're technical, or if you're an employee that's on the manufacturing line, you know, you're never going to keep them engaged if they don't have content that's relevant to them and what you know they can consume and what interests them. So yeah, it really is horses for courses. You know, you've got to make sure that the platform profiles properly, that you're interpreting the data to see what's interesting, and then and then amending it as you go. You know, it's you know, if you look at how Netflix has changed the world of you know, I think we all hooked on Netflix for various reasons post lockdown, but you know, it's because they actually interpret what you like and they start throwing things at you, and that's more really important. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Mm.
I want to circle back to something you mentioned earlier, which is really important for me as a business owner. It resonated with me, and that is, do you have the data to support assumptions or intuitive thoughts around are people engaged or not? What type of data are you referring to?
Yeah, so we don't make it complex. Again, it's the risk is you make this, you know, it's a kind of analysis paralysis. You know, you don't want to go there. You want to have this, you know, we've got a simple dashboard on our platform. It's called the Learning Record Store, but we're actually busy renaming it to the Employee Behavior Dashboard. And there it's pretty simple. You know, if you run a town hall every month on the platform and people are watching it, which you can watch live or a recorded version of it, you can go and interpret how many people watched, who engaged, you know, et cetera. And it's not hard to see if you go and look at it, how many people watched or didn't watch it, or you asked questions, you didn't. And it's not so much about a stick approach. It's the encouragement to saying, when we did our town hall, you know, was the content that we gave relevant? You know, did employees enjoy the message? You know, if you've got a podcast that you set up and you can set up podcasts on the platform, you know, did we do a series of podcasts and nobody listened to them or didn't finish them? Or you know, so it's not rocket science in terms of understanding it. It's often just to say,
it's just getting the visuals on what actually happened.
Yeah. you know, are employers logging into the platform? What is the trend? You know, are we trying to communicate early in the morning and actually people are on the platform at lunchtime, they're far more engaged? And, you know, it's interpretation of that level of data. It's not massively complex, you know, data sets, but our view is just keep it simple, you know. And when you're seeing that a particular content piece, even a type, so if you've got podcasts and people prefer video, well, then do video. You know, do essential, which is kind of our bite-sized chunks of learning. Do a video, and often we're all spoiled these days, but we generally prefer video, I think, because it's far more engaging. And, you know, then you can activate certain parts of the platform, deactivate others. So, yeah, it really is around, you know, relevance both for the individual, but relevance in terms of what is the best way of communicating content, you know, sharing knowledge. If you're gonna do your training, you know, would a recording of a Teams meeting presenting Poppy with one of your colleagues that you know be better than some external party? I would say absolutely your colleague presenting, because the employees know them.
Yeah, there's
more. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think ultimately it's firstly having visuals on what is actually happening, and then being able to make quick, agile adjustments to the way you are delivering that to increase the engagement and get more interaction with whatever platform you have in the organization. But it starts with eyes on the data, which a lot of times, especially in the human resource department, data, I mean, we speak about big data often, and we speak about integrated talent management or integrated HR, which is ultimately, can I work with multiple data points to inform decisions? It's difficult or not done optimally as it could. So I like the fact that you say that, Kevin. I think ultimately, you know, when you consider training, and you said this, you make reference to Netflix, all the technology that now is available. We spoke about digital fatigue. Okay, don't worry. It's not being recorded.
Sound, guys. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay, sorry, guys. My earphone stopped for some reason.
That's cool. I'll just ask the question again.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Kevin, we've spoken about digital fatigue. We've spoken about Netflix. We've spoken about access to learning and information. I mean, YouTube is out there. There are so many platforms that people can reach out to learn. To what extent would a system in an organization still have relevance to keep someone engaged if you're now adding something else to their learning journey?
I think that the trick is, you know, if you look at where most of us spend our time, and it might be on Netflix or Showmax, or, you know, if you look at the way people are pulling entertainment, you know, I look at TikTok as an example that my kids spend hours and hours on. They create their own content on it. I think you've got to, particularly in the younger generation of employers, you've got them coming into an organization, and if you don't give them a similar experience in a learning world, they're just not going to use it, you know. The Microsoft apps and that are great. The user interface isn't. And we see a lot of, I think it's more around making it simple for employees to engage rather than having various platforms in that. And that's where we can pull that all together. And I always say to CHRO that basically we're partly intranet, partly SharePoint, partly LMS. So, you know, and we can report on it all in one place. So you can integrate data and that kind of thing. So, you know, I think largely, particularly in the large organizations, those platforms are generally in place. They're not the utilization we see on them is not great, because the user interface isn't modern enough. And let's face it, employers demand that now. You know, they're so used to using all these apps that interpret what they want and throw things at them that they're interested in, that if they experience something different when they go into work, they're not going to use it. So again, it's the relevance of the tech. You know, you've got to make sure that it draws the attention of somebody that's got myriads of options available to them. You need to create an experience that they like and they enjoy to get the best out of them.
And I guess the only way to do that also is to ask for feedback on the employee level. Are you enjoying the experience?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, be open to it. Don't be threatened by it. You know, a lot of HR departments say, well, what if the employers don't like it? Well, maybe that tells you something, you know. That's what you want to hear. At least you
want. Well, rather that than they're not using it.
Yes, and so even negative feedback is good. You know, then you can amend what you're doing, and you can. The important thing is that you do change it and you do interpret it. And, you know, if you're running a company update and 50% of the people are at home listening to a conference call in audio, I mean, it's not going to work. You know, I can tell you right now, those employees have got listening to it and they're doing something else.
Correct.
So why don't you live stream, you know, the event and engage and ask questions and, you know, create leaderboards and there are all sorts of ways you can, you know, and it's also sort of relevant to the customer's culture. You know, every business is slightly different. You know, every business has business, you know, imperative business stuff that they need to do, like compliance or, you know, product training or whatever. That has to happen. But do that in an environment where you've already got the employees engaged in self-development and interesting stuff. Then engage them and meet them in the middle. Don't try and do it one way.
Yeah. I want to land the plane here, Kevin, with two questions to you. The first is, what should an organization, and this is now specifically for the audience, what should their stance be towards someone who, from a personality perspective, is just not keen on continuous learning?
Just repeat that again, Francois, sorry.
Okay. So what would your opinion be for organizations and audience members listening where they deal with employees who are just not simply inclined to continuous learning? Like it's not important for them on a personality level.
You know, I would say there are two things. One is they're all going to be looking to see what their colleagues are doing. You know, and if their colleagues are engaged, then you'll find that most of the time they're going to be engaged. So as an example, one of the things we have on our platform is what are the most popular courses? So what is everybody else learning and interested in? You know, and the interpretation of that automatically attracts some attention to say, hey, well, why is everybody looking at the company update? There must be something interesting.
Creates a bit of FOMO.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and let's face it, you know, the fear of missing out in generally in the way social media has got us thinking and, you know, particularly in the younger generation is huge, you know, and they don't want to be missing out. They want to understand why the people are interested in that content. But then also, you know, some people learn better with video, some prefer bite-sized learning, some prefer e-learning. You know, everybody's slightly different.
To have those options.
Have the options available, yeah.
Love
you know,
that.
And don't try and, you know, I guess it's a bit going back to our education system. It's a sausage machine of everybody goes in and everybody comes out in a certain thing. It's not how people are built. Every child is different. You know, you can't teach them in the same way. It's no different to when you're at an organization, you know, and you want to stimulate what makes people different. That's why you've got them on board.
Sure.
You know, stimulate that growth and encourage that that they grow to their capabilities and they do it within the structure that you create. Otherwise, you know, they become robots and you don't want that.
No. That's fantastic, Kevin. The last question, there's an audience member listening now. They go, okay, I need to start somewhere. We don't have this or we're behind. What would practical tips and tools from your perspective be for someone to say, okay, how do we actually now get going in implementing this way of learning so that we can increase the employee engagement?
Yeah. So we create a lot of our own content because one of the challenges is the platform is one thing. Content is something that takes time. And you can create all your own content on our platform. But we have a catalog of content called Get Skilled, which is really around helping you engage your employees better. So we have a lot of research that goes into it through our team over in Holland. And we have about 300 modules of content that's already on the platform. So the onus is not on the employer or the company to get a blank platform and have to develop it. It's already there. So it's a really soft landing for them, and it's a comfortable place to be where the onus is not on HR to create all this content and there's this massive panic. We slowly introduce it. You can determine what content pieces are there that you want to make available. There's a capability where you can create pathways. So we always say to customers, you know, if there's an interesting topic maybe around your values, why don't you launch a little pathway for people to follow? And just make it interesting, you know, make announcements on the platform. You know, when you do a a company update, you know, feedback on the data you had on the previous one. So I think for us, you know, again, every customer is slightly different, but generally, you know, we can get customers up and going within 2 weeks to 4 weeks, really easy to do.
Okay.
And partly because of our experience in terms of all the content that's already there, that we know what employers are interested in already based on what we see through our other customers.
Yeah.
So that's a big help. So they shouldn't be concerned about starting. Starting is probably the easy part. You know, the harder part is making sure you keep employees engaged. That's the piece you've got to focus on.
Yes, yes. Kevin, thank you so much. This has been so valuable for me personally, learning around what is out there in the world of learning. As you know, WAMLI is about hiring. But thank you for your time. Really appreciate it. Where can the audience get a hold of you, reach you?
Yeah, so we've got a website, skillstown.co.za. They're welcome to go through there. And you know, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm very active there as well. And yeah, so they can reach out through the website. But yeah, we're having some, you know, every day we meet with 3-4 customers. We're doing a lot of demos, testing their thinking, and yeah, I'm very happy to engage and talk to them about how we can help them improve their overall employee experience.
Fantastic. Kevin, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for being on the podcast where we help solve people puzzles.
Super. Thanks, Francois. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode on Solving the People Puzzle. We are going to continue to interview phenomenal individuals from the industry. And if you don't want to miss out, hit the subscribe button, as well as share this with friends, colleagues, and family members who you believe can benefit from this content, helping individuals and organizations solve the people puzzle. If you would like to know more about WAMLI, please visit our website at wamli.io or simply email hello@wamli.io. Until next week, ciao.